Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to say thanks to our longtime sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing, helping you, physical therapists or physical therapist assistants, find jobs all over this country with positions in all settings in all 50 states. Find out what they have for you at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live. Here we are. What's going on? I'm Jimmy. Welcome to PT Pintcast, a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories here in the world of physical therapy. We are excited you're joining us. Either you're watching a live stream, or you're listening to the podcast, or you're watching the replay on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, Periscope, whatever. Welcome, welcome, welcome. PT Pintcast brought to you by our friends from Aureus Medical Staffing. We're live from the Aureus Medical Studios. Find out at AUREUSmedical.com. Leaders in hashtag travel PT. I say we're live from the Aureus Medical Studios. It's also my bedroom. So welcome to my room, everybody. That's where we're doing this from. Everybody's at home. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss anything in physical therapy. Do it free on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And as we mentioned, doing the video casting. Mom said I had the face for radio. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at PT Pintcast on the socials. Got a great show for you today. We're going to dig into something which might come up a lot. I feel like this is one of these buzz concepts that comes up and you want to be informed, right? So you want to know how to respond and what you should tell people. We're talking intermittent fasting. So we're going to be talking with our guest today about intermittent fasting. Get into the conversation, though. Drop a comment below. Interact with us on social media. Maybe we'll be able to field your question live during the show. Without further ado, and I do love me some ado, our next guest, a physical therapist working in orthopedics. She studied kinesiology and nutrition and dietetics as an undergraduate student at the University of Rhode Island and received her DPT from Stony Brook University. Let's welcome to the show, Kara Lobianco. Isn't it motivating when there's like a crowd in the background? And even when you know it's fake, like this is fake. But they're like, hey, this is kind of cool. People are here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is great.
I didn't prep you for this. We're going to get into intermittent fasting, but I didn't prep you for this. I want to tell the story about how we like met. Do you remember this? It was at, I don't remember what city we were in. It was a conference. Where were we?
Boston.
That was Boston?
Yeah. 2017, okay. I think.
Maybe honestly, they're all a blur to me. I just remember it was a conference center. That's all I know.
So many.
I go to a few. So here's what happened, and it's been a minute. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is how I remember it. I ordered like a million pint glasses to be shipped. I'm talking like these were the glasses. These are the glasses right here. Okay, and I shipped cases of them. I shipped them to the little FedEx kiosk in the conference center, and I went to pick them up. And the guy was like, well, first of all, he was like, it's going to be $1,200 to pick those up. And I was like, the glasses only cost like $800. And he's like, yeah, there's a receiving fee. And I was like, I don't have $1,200 to give you to receive the glasses I just paid. So you can keep them if you want. Or I could leave this $100 bill here and you could take a 15-minute break. And he goes, there's a hand truck in the back. I'll be back in 15. But then I started panicking because I couldn't physically carry them all by myself a million miles across the conference center. And that's where I run into you in the hallway? Like I literally just grabbed someone. I was like, who can help me? I looked at you. You look strong.
Oh, yeah. I look really strong. I forgot about that, actually. But all I remember is lugging them in and out of an elevator.
Yes, we were doing that a lot. So we carried them across the conference center. And the reason I needed to do it quickly is because that guy was going to come back. And I was like, my luck is he'll ask for another $100. And I didn't have it. So I was like, let's go. So if that teaches you anything from today's podcast so far is $100 can save you $1,200. If you're
can go a long way.
Well, hey, thanks for jumping on the show. Since, 2017, you were a student still there, right? At Stony Brook?
Yep. I graduated in 18. So a year later.
Congratulations. You got that going for you. And are you still on the island? Are you still on Long Island or where are you?
I am. I just got put out east in Southampton. So that's been my home base for a while. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Nobody likes the Hamptons, huh? Yeah. Maybe one day I'll get out to the Hamptons.
Yeah, can I go to the beach?
Yeah, don't threaten me with a good time. So the reason I bring you on today, as we found out in your intro, you did a little background, your undergraduate work in nutrition and dietetics. Talk about that briefly. What drew you that way and what'd you learn?
Yeah, so when I was an undergrad, I knew right off the bat I wanted to go to PT school, but part of most kinesiology programs has been taking either one or two, maybe three nutrition courses. And I took my first one and fell in love with it. And I felt so torn. I was like, oh my gosh, do I continue with PT, which has been my dream to be, or do I mix things up and pursue nutrition? So I actually just couldn't decide and I picked both. So
I like that. I mean, we had an interview on when we were at CSM with Sarah Beth Burke, and she has her PhD in hybridity. And she's talking more and more mixing of things is actually more valuable versus, I don't know, where my parents' generation was be super good at just one thing and get into that thing and stay there for 20 years. And now that's not the case.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always found in undergrad and even still now, like you really can't talk about exercise without talking about diet and vice versa. They're just so interrelated that I think it's important to have a well-rounded view towards it. Plus, yeah, everyone's getting so specialized that it's harder to collaborate. It's harder to mix everybody in together because you're hearing so many different viewpoints from different people. So yeah, I think it's important to know a little bit about both.
Yeah. And that's why I got excited to talk to you about this particular topic, intermittent fasting, today, because it's come up a lot. People ask me, and my standard response is, I don't know if I'm educated enough to speak to you in depth on that. Like, I literally have that verbatim, because what I don't want to say is I don't know, because that kind of like, but I don't, but I want to say I'm not educated enough. Now, if you're asking me to get more educated, I can do that for you. But since you had, you know, you have this nutrition background, this love for it, I was like, hey, if Kara's going to come on the show, let's have her talk about intermittent fasting. I'm sure it's come up with in clinic for some people out there in the audience right now. So let's dig in. Let's go big to small, macro to micro. What the heck is intermittent fasting?
Yeah, so I actually, before you asked me about it, it was kind of on my to-do list to research, because I do get a lot of questions about it in clinic. So I really wasn't too sure what the pros and cons of it were, what the benefits were. So I've done a good amount of research at this point, and it's actually pretty simple in terms of like the basic terminology of it. So people are using the word intermittent fasting in place of something called time-restricted eating. So this is usually looked at in a ratio. So time spent eating and then time spent fasting. But intermittent fasting is really an umbrella term in the literature for a bunch of different types of fasting. So you could do prolonged fasting, which has shown its own set of benefits, and that's typically fasting greater than 48 hours. But this time-restricted eating component is really a tool that you can use to match your circadian rhythm. So basically what that means is eating in a time when your metabolism is at its peak and not eating when you're at a slower rate.
Yeah, so timing those things out. So a couple different types of, in terms of intermittent fasting, or prolonged what was it again? What was the term?
Prolonged fasting.
So I mean, I know some people who had the concept of they can eat anything they want for 8 hours, but it was only this 8 hour period, and anything else, it was like they were from the movie Gremlins. It was like, you do not feed the person outside the 8 hours, or you don't want to know what's going to happen. And they treated it like that. And these people will swear by results. And when you were looking into, you know, intermittent fasting as this buzzword term, you know, what were you finding in terms of what works for whom? Does one thing work for everybody, or you need to try different things out, as you're mentioning with rhythms?
Well, so that's actually funny that you say that, because this is basically the main reason that I decided to start my blog. Is I feel like, especially in the medical field, you really can't have a black and a white. Like, if I say to every single patient, hey, you should start intermittent fasting, they're going to look at me and be like, well, why? They start it and then they decide, hey, this doesn't really fit my schedule. This isn't easy for me. It takes a lot of planning, makes me feel like garbage. Whatever their complaint is, like, I can't say that it's going to be good for everybody.
Right.
But I think the body truly needs like a routine, a schedule. So your body, if you eat whenever you feel like it, or whenever it's around or whatever, your body kind of goes into this stage of preserving everything. So if it's not sure when it's going to get its next meal, it holds on to everything. Whereas if you know that, if your body knows that you eat at 9, 12, and 5 o'clock in the afternoon, then your body kind of dumps what it doesn't need and holds on to the stuff that it actually needs, and you kind of get rid of waste that way. So yeah. The intermittent fasting is kind of a nice tool for people to use so that they have that schedule, they have that routine available to them.
All right. So now we're getting the terms. I want to start macro to micro. Oh, before I forget, though, I always like to get the hardest question out of the way early. I forgot to ask it. What are you drinking?
Rosé all day, baby.
I'm probably going to take some heat for this. I have been having IPAs on the show, and I'm trying to knock back a couple. I'm just doing a White Claw with ice cubes, okay?
But White Claw? I wish you would have told me. I would have brought mine out, too.
Black cherry is my flavor, so cheers. And now that we know the big terminology, the idea behind intermittent fasting, which I think we should at least be knowledgeable of, because patients are going to be either doing it or asking us about it in clinic.
Absolutely.
So let's go into more specifics. You alluded to it a second ago. Intermittent fasting. Pros and cons. What are they?
So right now, the research that I've done has shown that there's actually like a good amount of pros, which I am very much like not a diet person. I don't typically recommend things like that just because I always find that they're very temporary and a diet shouldn't be that way. So I'm always very skeptical, but the research is showing some pretty good benefits. So there's this protein called IGF-1. And its job in your body is to build and regrow. So for all of our exercise people out there, that's obviously very important to build strength, right? So they've been finding that during this fasting period, that protein in the body has been elevated so that your body's kind of using whatever's left over to rebuild, which they've been showing has had good effects towards like breast cancer and longevity, especially for regrowth for neurons and muscles, which for us is huge. Like that's a great tool to be able to use. So that's one of them. The other, obviously, people talk about the most is weight loss. So I think the biggest part of this has been the fact that you're not eating at midnight when your body's at no good, Jimmy. No good. But I mean, it's crazy when your schedules are so wacky. I mean, I work an outpatient. You could be at work till 8, 9 o'clock. My commute's an hour. So I don't get home till 9 o'clock, sometimes not even till 10 o'clock. Am I going to eat then? I'm starving. I just worked for 10 hours, you know? So I get it's tough and it's something that requires a lot of planning. So I think moving more towards a con, the intermittent fasting can be kind of problematic in that you have to have a schedule and you have to be consistent with it. If you're working an outpatient or even inpatient, your schedule can vary from day to day. So it's hard to kind of get that like permanent routine.
Sure. Yeah. In terms of pros and cons, I think that definitely is the thing everybody's looking for is terms of like, well, this could, you know, jumpstart my weight loss. In your research, did it say anything about in terms of, well, I mean, I feel like this term creeps up in PT and everything now, right? It's coming up. It depends. Where I feel like if you did two people with different genetics did the exact same plan, and if you watch this on like nutrition Twitter, you'll watch people rage on carnivore diet or plant diet or intermittent fasting, and it, literally these people are just raging at each other. Oh, yeah. And what I've done, I mean, I've done minimal research into it, but a book that was good for me was David Epstein's Range. And what he found was, he's like, honestly, man, like genetics plays a really huge part. Like we know that. And then we say, but do this. It'll definitely work in every situation. How can you say that with a straight face if you know that genetics is a giant component of how exercise and food and sleep affects each of us?
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And there's a lot of research, too, going into the gut genome, biome, not genome, biome. Right. So...
I don't know what that is, but I like it. You have an actual phone?
Yeah.
Like a real landline phone? That's like history. Oh my gosh. Do you want to show the audience? Because I don't think half of them know what it looks like.
Dun, dun, dun. Can you guys see it?
People, that's a phone. It's attached to the wall. And you had to stand near it.
Yeah, there's a cord and everything.
Cord? I mean, think about this, Kara. We'll just go off topic because that's me. You know, the younger people in the audience, they have no reason. They have no concept of why we call it hanging up on someone. It's because the phone used to be on the wall. You'd hang it up.
Oh, yeah.
It's very difficult to emphatically hang up on someone by just pushing an iPhone button. All right. Well, now, I don't know. Was it like someone important? Did you want to take that call in the middle of the show? I don't know. Your call.
I picked it up and hung it up. So.
All right. That's also what you can do when you have a regular phone. All right. So we'll skip the phone education. But yeah, genetics, as the most I've researched, is it depends. And that's what we find in PT school, as frustrating as a student. But a lot of the things are going to depend. And you alluded to it a second ago, which is if I told everybody to do this, they'd want to know more. But also if you told 100 people to do this, even if they all definitely adhered to it, you'd probably get 100 different results.
Oh yeah. And I mean, in terms of intermittent fasting, it's very dependent on what you're eating too. You already talked about people who say, oh, I can eat whatever I want in this 8-hour period. If you eat nothing but chocolate cake the entire time, like, you're going to be in bad shape. You're not going to be feeling too good. And I think in this busy, fast-paced lifestyle that we've all been living, which kind of COVID has been a blessing for, is slow everything down a little bit. But people are not really aware of how their body's feeling until it's too late.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have an 8-hour period and you're eating potato chips and whatever you can find in that 8-hour period, especially during a busy workday or traveling or whatever it is, you're not going to be feeling your best even if you're doing this intermittent fasting. So you kind of have to find that balance of, okay, I need to plan out my meals and I'm not going to be eating for 8 hours straight.
Yeah. It feels like a couple questions come into play. Who, in terms of genetics, what are you eating? And then, yes, if you're talking about timing, several different types of intermittent fasting, that's the when. So it really is, those three, who, what, and when come into play pretty importantly when you're talking about intermittent fasting.
Oh, yeah. And the it depends is so huge. I mean, we see that day in and day out. You can't take somebody with adhesive capsulitis and treat them the same way across the board. Like, you just depends on what's sitting in front of you.
Isn't that so frustrating, though, in PT school? You'd say, well, what's the answer? And it's like, I just thought it was my professors in PT school. And then I realized, oh, my gosh, that's a thing. I feel like I should start itdepends.com, like, just because everybody's eventually going to go there. You know what? Let's jump on that before someone steals it, please. Itdepends.com. Let's get on that. By the end of the show. So how are you applying this information in clinic? You know, you bring in nutrition and dietetics work and information with your patients in clinic. How else can people bring this in?
So usually a lot of what I talk about with patients has to do with behavior change. So I kind of have to meet them where they are, just like everybody else is. So if somebody's coming to me and saying, hey, I've been doing this intermittent fasting, what do you think about that? Do you agree, disagree? I'm like, well, how do you feel? First off, I don't really love to talk about weight loss and weight gain. Well, unless it's like extreme amounts, but I don't like your goal to solely be weight loss, because that really, I mean, all the research is showing that BMI is relatively irrelevant. So you really want, like, how are you feeling? Do you feel like crap when you only eat for 8 hours? Like, do you need to eat right when you wake up in the morning and you have to make it work for work? It depends on who's sitting in front of you. So when people haven't started it yet, I usually say to try it on a day that you don't have anything else going on.
Sure.
So on a Saturday afternoon, okay, Sunday, I'm going to try this. I'm going to wake up, do whatever I have to do in the morning. I'm going to start eating at 10 o'clock and then dinner's going to be at 5 and then I'm done for the day and see what happens. See how Monday feels, you know, and try it that way. The research is also showing that the prolonged fasting, so that's greater than 48 hours, has shown some pretty powerful benefits too. So, I mean, you're not going to do that on a weekly basis. That's something that's...
Oh. How often do someone... How often are people trying that, going without eating for 48 hours? Is that a once a week, or you go without eating for 48, eat, and then try it again? How's that set up? I mean, if you tell me, it depends.
Well, I don't know anybody personally who's done it, but the podcast that I was listening to that we can talk about, there was a researcher, his name is Walter Longo. He's been studying it, and he said that you could do it once a year, once a month. It's not something that you do weekly. But that's something that you can play around with also. So there, it's basically just trial and error and you figuring out what works for you. It takes a lot of planning. So it's something that you can't just like, okay, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. You have to kind of make a plan for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a lot of this is going to be trial and error. A lot of people are looking for a quick fix in exercise or nutrition, calling it a diet, looking for that quick fix. What's the fastest path? And the more we learn, the more we learn from, you know, the experts are out there saying, the real experts who actually understand this stuff are saying there is no quick fix, and everything is going to depend on you and how you react to these things and planning, your genetics. What else are you doing besides just eating? Because are you active? Are you inactive? You know, when are you eating? So all these things are, unfortunately, if you're here for a quick fix, it's going to be, it depends.
Unfortunately, there's never a quick fix.
Quick question from the audience. Rachel wants to know, typical fasting schedule for someone trying it for the first time. I know it's going to depend. But if someone were to, as you just alluded to, if you're going to say, hey, you know what, try it on a Sunday when you can control most of the things that you're going to do, what would you suggest?
I mean, from what I read in the literature, typical time-restricted eating time would be an eight-hour period of eating.
Got it.
And then 16 hours off, which sounds like a lot, but really half of the 16-hour period you're sleeping. Yeah, and before you're going to bed, it's not like you're doing anything too strenuous. It's just kind of like that morning period where your stomach might be grumbling. But once you kind of get onto a schedule, I think you'll find that it's like relatively easy to maintain, depending on your schedule, of course.
Yes. Yeah. So a lot of different things have come into play. I went on a hiking trip in the middle of PT school, went hiking in, north of Seattle and up in Alaska. So for a couple of weeks, and I was really nervous because we were essentially carrying the jet boil, a little propane, little fuel, and you boil a little cup of water and you mix in they're like MREs. And I was kind of nervous. I'm like, that's what we're eating. You know, I was like, where can I stuff a couple of power bars or just to make sure? Cause there's no food out there on the mountain. And I'll be honest, after a couple of weeks, my body was just pretty used to it. Like that. And that's me knowing myself. I mean, looking at the tiny little bowl that I would eat of food, and when we were done, that was all we could eat. Cause we were only carrying a certain amount for a day, for a trip. So we realized that we needed to make sure what we were eating was planned. We knew how much activity we were going to be doing, but the variable was our genetics and our body. And, you know, I lucked out in terms of after a while, I just kind of got used to eating, you know, a couple thousand calories a day and hiking all day. But I also got great sleep out in the woods.
Yeah, you're probably exhausted.
Oh, yeah. Right out.
Did anybody in your group not like the restricted eating?
It was a small group. No, I was the most inexperienced hiker of the group by far. And that's why I was kind of like, can I like sneak a couple of ho-hos in here? Or like, you know, where am I going to put these things? So no, but it probably took 2 or 3 days before I was actually like, oh, I'm fine. But it was that probably like the second or third morning waking up where I was like, man, I could just go for some, you know, just a big old omelet and some toast. Let me get some of that. But probably on the fourth day, my body was just like, okay, this is all we're getting. We better deal with it. And I adjusted. So everything you're saying, I agree with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super interesting. Did you lose any weight?
Lost a ton of weight.
Really?
Yes.
Were you hydrated?
I stayed very hydrated because we were all, I mean, that was like a big thing, but I wouldn't, you know, I'm going to amend that. It wasn't a ton of weight. I probably would say between 5 and 10 pounds. And this is over 3 weeks.
Okay. That's actually like a pretty like decent amount of weight loss.
Right. But as soon as I came back, I put 4 pounds back on like in the first week of getting home. Cause I hit every restaurant in Northern Virginia as soon as I got back. So that's cool how you're applying that in clinic. Any good resources you could suggest for people to read more for themselves? We always want people to educate themselves beyond what our guests are telling them too. So where'd you go?
So I actually found some pretty good podcasts. I have been weirdly obsessed with this podcast called The School of Greatness.
Great show.
And he interviewed this PhD, Rhonda Patrick. And she is like the nutrition guru of gurus. Like she is probably one of the most brilliant people I've ever listened to. And she's so up to date on all the research. She gives you the big picture, like everything you need to know, but then is able to like kind of tone it back so that if you're not very familiar with all the chemicals or chain reactions or whatever, she kind of brings it down to an average person's level, which is awesome because I haven't been in school for 3-5 years now.
Wow.
It's awesome. She is phenomenal. And she actually worked very closely with Valter Longo, who studies the intermittent fasting and things of that nature. So she was an awesome resource.
That's cool.
I recommend.
Want to talk to you about something else. We'll bring it on screen. What's that? What is this?
That's Balancing Bicycle, my blog.
All right. So you started a blog. I always like to, when someone asks, when they say I started a podcast or a YouTube channel or a blog, I always just go, hey, what was your inspiration? Why did you decide to create?
So I actually have been wanting to do this since I was an undergrad because I have been so passionate about combining exercise and nutrition. And I am obsessed with a Albert Einstein quote, life is like riding a bike. In order to maintain your balance, you must keep moving. So I feel like that's so important. I say it all day long in clinic. You have to keep going. You have to keep progressing. That's what life's about. You have to make it better for the next day. So I've been kind of trying to inspire people to make good changes to keep their bodies moving forward and grow with Balancing Bicycle.
So someone goes to balancingbicycle.com. What are they going to find? What do you talk about with this blog? Because it's your thoughts, you know, out in the ether, on the internet.
Yeah. So it's been, so far, it's been kind of a combination of exercise advice, nutrition advice. But it's pretty much full body, collaborative type thoughts that I want to share with people. I'm pretty interested in behavior change and actually getting people to make that actual change. I don't know how many times I've given an HEP out and nobody does it. And I ask them every time, oh, how are your exercises at home? I didn't do them. Or I did them and I look at them, they're like, actually, I didn't do them. And you just know, and it's, I mean, I love hanging out with my patients, but to see them 3 times a week for their entire lives is obviously not feasible. Like, I want you to be able to make a change in your life without me. So I think on my blog, I hope that people will kind of get that vibe and find tools that they can use to make their own lives better without me babysitting them and checking up on them.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a younger clinician or still in school, I remember thinking, man, there's no one's listening to me. And what you want to do is you want to blame the audience. But I went back to my broadcasting days, which is if the audience doesn't like something, they're being honest. You can't blame the audience. You have to blame yourself as the sender or the creator of the information, whether that's an HEP, whether that's a, you know, whether that's a diet routine or something to get into in terms of fasting. So I think going back to what's your method, your favorite quote is an Einstein. Mine is George Bernard Shaw, which is the greatest failure in communication is to think it actually occurred. So I told Kara something, so, and she didn't do it, which means that she didn't do it. She failed. But what if I didn't say it the right way, or if I said it in a moment you weren't listening? So I think behavior change puts it back on us as clinicians, as a profession, physical therapist assistants, anybody in the healthcare field, and saying we need to own this. If they're not doing it, we need to change our ways. Our job is to continually find different ways to help usher in behavior change, not just tell, but usher them through. And the good thing about our product is that we're trying to work ourselves out of a job. As you mentioned, 3 to 5, you know, 3 times a week is not, it's just not good. Like, you want to initiate behavior change.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. I take it so personally when they don't do my HEP. I'm like, what did I do wrong that you don't want to do it? Like, let's talk through it and find that obstacle that's preventing you from doing it. And let's change it. I don't want to give you something that you're not going to use and that's not going to help you. Like, let's make it better for you and let's move forward. Let's keep pedaling.
Like a bicycle. The best exercise you can give someone to do is the one they're going to do. Kara, are you ready for 3 questions?
Yes, sir. Let's hear it.
Three questions brought to you by our friends from Aureus Medical Staffing. Find them online at AURUSmedical.com. That's AURUSmedical.com. If you're looking for a position, all different settings, inpatient, outpatient, specialty settings, women's health, you can go all the way from Alaska or Hawaii, all the way to the tip of the Hamptons. They need physical therapists out there, right, Kara?
Come on out.
Come on out, she says. Especially this time, a lot of people graduating, passing the MPTE, or at least taking it today. So there was a lot of people on there. Yeah.
That's today?
There was a bunch of people taking it today. I think things got spread out because of COVID. But listen, if you're looking for a place to do the thing you've been studying your whole life, AURUSmedical.com. All right, 3 questions. First question, of course, is a where question, Kara. Anywhere in the 50 U.S. states, you can go for 3 months and be a PT, bring your bike. where would you go?
I'm going to Alaska, Jimmy.
Yeah. Bring your own food.
Absolutely. Yeah, bring your own food. I'll try the intermittent fasting there.
Cool part is they do. People just assume Alaska, Hawaii, or like, you know, just crazy cool places. There's probably no positions there. A lot of times people are shorthanded. Short-term assignments could also turn into a long-term assignment. So Alaska, not too shabby. Watch out for bears. Second question is a what question. We alluded to, I think, your answer before. What's something you've watched, read, listened to, podcast, book, movie that you think the audience could benefit from?
So I already talked about the School of Greatness podcast, but Dr. Rhonda Patrick has her own podcast, and it is absolutely phenomenal. She is such a great resource, and not even just intermittent fasting, but just everything in the nutrition realm. She has some sort of insight on, and will at least point you in the right direction to find more research. So she's helpful. Well,
good. Last question is, we begin and end with people. Who is someone the audience should know more about? It's very open-ended. I love asking open-ended questions.
I mean, I guess Rhonda Patrick, can I say that again?
You can. You're the guest. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're really hamming it on her. You're really fangirling her. I like it.
Yeah. If she listens to this, I'll be so pumped. Shout out to you, Rhonda.
I like how you got like quiet there for a second. Like, if she listens to this, I'll be so excited. All right. Let's do the last thing we do on the show. We call it the parting shot. Parting shot, no pressure here, Kara. It's your mic drop moment to leave with the audience. So in doing the research for intermittent fasting, what would you want to leave with the audience for the parting shot?
You got to find your balance. It's going to be about you, and you have to trial and error and practice and listen to your body. Find your balance.
I like it. It depends, everybody. Parting shot brought to you by our friends from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, the leaders in orthopedic PT. If you're going to level up your game, why not do it with the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy? Find them online at orthopt.com. We're also doing a contest right now. Contest with the Orthopedic Academy to win any of their course, access to any of their courses online. So follow us on social media to get that. Join the PT Pintcast Unfair Advantage. That's where you can get our emails and you can find out stuff before anybody else. Thus why we call it an unfair advantage. Before we go, Cookie loves it. She read The Complete Guide to Fasting with Dr. Jason Fung. He explained things. She said she was doing it 24-hour fast and 24-hour fast the rest of the week for 6 weeks. Didn't think it would work. She was wrong. Feels great. As PTs, need to help our own patients understand and we'll follow. Not for everybody. And that's exactly what Kara was saying. It depends. Try out what works for you. So love the resources you gave here and the insight on intermittent fasting, Kara. Appreciate you stopping by to the show. Let's have you back again. Bring your bike next time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jimmy.
Love the PT Pintcast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right. Show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
ptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me,
physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Ingredients are sourced by our chief connections officer,
Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist
Juliet Dassinger.
And by producer and creator, second-year PT student
Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University.
PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely
love you. I love you, love you, love
you. It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.